Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Cesaro got hacked, Samoa Joe news, and we discuss WWE network hacks. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Cesaro's Twitter account was hacked, or was it?
Yeah, there was some rampant speculation. Of course, one of the things that had happened was his Twitter account basically blasted the WWE and Vince McMahon, wished that they would die and get cancer and all this other stuff. And they're saying that he was hacked from a fan who wanted to get attention. And it definitely got a lot of attention. But was he the right person to hack if you want to have Cesaro get some press, do you think? Like, would you hack Cesaro so Cesaro gets press?
No, if I could do it, I would actually hack someone like Vince, Trips, Stephanie, send something to Ashley and say, hey, we want you in Raw this weekend.
I saw that, yeah.
Which still is hilarious. I would not do it the way that this fan did, because this fan is probably dumb. He probably didn't use the proper thing, run through a proxy, a couple of VPNs, blah, blah, blah. He probably wasn't the most intelligent person to do this. Plus, Cesaro's going to use a much tougher password than Swiss Cheese 1 is what it was. Swiss Cheese 1, all lowercase.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't think it's the wrong way to get attention. I thought it was kind of funny because it was true, but I don't know if the tweets were ever deleted or not. I didn't see that.
Yeah, they were. They were taken down right away. But yeah, I think, you know, I totally agree with you. Personally, I was thinking John Cena. That was the first one that came to mind. I was thinking, you know, I would hack John Cena's account and say, oh my God, Vince is such an idiot for not pushing Cesaro. And then Vince would be like, oh my God, Cena said that? We better push Cesaro then, you know? But anyway, another big thing that happened. So on Thursday last week, WWE financials came out for the quarter, and it was really great. In fact, the stock is up tremendously right now. It's trending at about $17 a share. And, you know, a little over 2-3 weeks ago, it was about $10 a share. So if you were someone who was smart, bought 10 shares at about $10 a share, you're sitting pretty right now.
Yeah. And I would have guessed this was going to happen once they announced that they hit a million subscribers. I would have just hopped on and bought a bunch of stock, but I don't think the stock price really changed until after the financials came out. Once they came out, all of a sudden people started buying WWE stock, and there was a lot. I'm still in shock about it, but oh well.
Yeah, it's actually good. I almost think that WWE stock now is going to be trending upwards and staying the same, you know, like, I think that it was staying around $12 for the longest time. Then it, you know, was started to drop, and then it started going up. I think that we're going to see WWE stock kind of stay around the $20 mark is my guess. That's what I almost think, because if they are hitting more and more viewers and they're having more and more subs for the network, then I think that we might see something, you know, in the $20 range. But, you know, we're not financial folks, so, you know, we will have to wait and see.
Well, the one thing that they did that was right, I believe, is that they took away from, you know, cable companies, which is the big thing, and also satellite companies. They're like, we're going to run our pay-per-views on our network, period. And that, of course, made everyone mad. But I would not be surprised if all of a sudden DirecTV and Dish Network decide to run WrestleMania, though, because that's the big cash cow, and a lot of people get just that pay-per-view. Or you can get it on the network for $9.99. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So what's the deal with Samoa Joe? Is this true that he's leaving TNA?
On Tuesday, Samoa Joe tweeted out that him and Impact Wrestling have parted ways. And there's been a lot of outpouring. A lot of people from TNA saying thank you for, you know, your 10 years here. Even Paul Heyman actually tweeted out, which means that maybe Paul Heyman is interested in Samoa Joe coming to WWE. Let me ask you this much. So let's just say, because I don't think this is an angle, where would Samoa Joe be best used?
NXT, hands down.
And I disagree.
Well, here's the thing, though, Aaron. If he's taped any of the one-night stand pay-per-views and they say, hey, this is when they're coming out, they're going to wait 90 days after his last appearance on one of those pay-per-views before he comes to any type of WWE programming, because they don't want basically – because here's the funny thing. TNA had the best of, you know, on Destination America. Best of Bully Ray came out right after Royal Rumble. Interesting. Yep. I find that interesting. Mick Foley. There was a thing about Mick Foley. All of a sudden, bam, best of Mick Foley came out. And granted, they have all these set up already. But they already did the best of Samoa Joe. But what they're going to do is they're going to wait. And once Samoa Joe finally appears, they're going to run that on Destination America, which is a smart marketing thing. But it's one of those weird things, dude.
Yeah. You know, Samoa Joe was criminally underutilized in TNA during the last 5 years, 6 years there. You know, they have not been using him very well at all. And it's very unfortunate. It really is. I think that he could do well in WWE. I think that he is one of those rare people that you just bring him up on the main roster. And I think, you know, I think Kevin Steen could have been one of those guys personally, but you know, he did come from Ring of Honor. So I guess I kind of get it. You know, but TNA is a lot more WWE light. They have better wrestlers, of course, and there's things that TNA does that you can't do in WWE. But Ring of Honor is kind of the Wild West when it comes to wrestling. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think NXT is really great for them, because you can help polish those skills and make it a little less dangerous. I think Samoa Joe could do well in WWE. Honestly, have him come in and have him feud with Cena right away. If you want to make a splash and you want somebody to be a main guy, Samoa Joe, Cena, immediately. That's what I would do.
I think you're taking it to another degree, dude. That is pushing it. I believe that's definitely pushing it, dude.
And they're friends, so that's why I'm saying that. And you're probably right. I'm probably, this is wishful thinking. So anyway, Andy, I wanted to bring up some information that I had brought up a few episodes ago, where I talked about how I think it's dumb for WWE to not have the 6 month subscriptions, because you could probably hack the WWE network in such a way where you're paying a lot less and you're getting the most value. So I actually went through and decided to do some research here. So basically, think of it this way. You are going to subscribe to the network the day of a pay-per-view. And so let's just say we're going to use the beginning of this year as the starting point. So you're going to subscribe on January 25th, which is the start of the Royal Rumble, right? Well, you will have a subscription for 1 month, which will cost you $10. And during that time, you're going to see two pay-per-views. Now, on February 25th, you're going to cancel. And then you're going to re-up on the 29th of March, which, of course, is WrestleMania. During that time, you're going to see two pay-per-views. And so what you do is you keep doing this going forth. And every time, except for two instances, you're going to see two pay-per-views. So they run two pay-per-views within the span of a month, within 4 weeks. Except for the July to August time, you wouldn't be able to do that, and December to January for TLC to Royal Rumble. So what I figured out here, Andy, is that if you really wanted to, as opposed to spend $120 a year on the WWE Network, if you decide to subscribe and immediately cancel when your subscription would be up, you will be paying $70 for the WWE Network. $50 less than what they're expecting you to pay.
Okay, I see this, actually. I think that's actually pretty interesting. But what if you want to see the NXT stuff? I mean, what if you're like, oh, man, I'm really bored. You know, I think I'll get the network.
Well, you know, if that's the case, then you will. But if you take a look at the information that I have provided, obviously, if you're listening to this, you know, you're not going to see it. You will be without the network for, some periods of time. For example, if you subscribed on Royal Rumble, you will not have the network from February 26th to March 29th. So you're going to be without it for basically a full month right there. Other times you're going to be without it for 2 weeks. There's, the June to July, that's a full month. But you're going to see one, you know, which is in August, that's 4 days. So you're going to be off by 4 days, which isn't too bad. So all in all, though, you're not going to have 365 days of wrestling, but you'll have, you know, probably 250, which isn't bad. And let's face it, you know, we have the network for 30 straight days, right? you don't watch the network 30 days in a row. You know, you might watch it 20, you might watch it 15, 10. Me personally, I probably watch 5 to 10 days of wrestling on the network, I would say. So, you know, it really depends. But this is a good way that you could probably save money if that's the route you want to go.
Well, yeah, if you want to save money and you're about the pay-per-views only, this is definitely the way to go where you spend $70 a year. I think that's actually really good. I think to basically stop this, what they should do is just make it so the pay-per-view is at least 4 weeks, every 4 weeks, or even 5 weeks.
It would have to be 5 weeks is what it would have to be.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, that's tough. That is tough.
Yeah, so, I mean, realistically, you could watch 12 pay-per-views at $70 a year. And, you know, if you throw in the NXT stuff, you know, I didn't factor in when those would be since those aren't set in stone. They're just, you know, randomly announced. But, you know, given, you know, the time frame that they typically do the NXT pay-per-views, it's a lot of times a week, the week of or a week before a WWE pay-per-view, which means you probably would be getting them. So, anyway, Andy, let's go ahead and move on to WWE programming this week.
Big Show turned again?
Yes, he did.
No, so the Dust Brothers, Stardust turns on his brother and his dad. So it looks like they're splitting up and they're going to be actually wrestling at Fastlane. Did you think that this is what they've been trying to do for over a year?
I think that this is, but it's, you know, I think I had said that I was against them doing it or against them having it, you know, being the WrestleMania moment. The biggest problem I have with this is if you do this on a Monday and then you announce on Thursday night that, by the way, these two are going to face each other, who cares? I don't care. There's no buildup to this. There's no buildup. There was, if anything else, you know, if you really wanted to do this, you should have done this angle 2 weeks ago. And then the week after, you have, you know, Dustin pleading with Cody. Cody, no, this isn't the way you should do it. I know you attacked me, but you're my brother. I love you. Please don't do this. And then Cody still attacks him. And then the following week, you know, he's still pleading with him, but Cody goes to attack him. Dustin blocks him and knocks him down, let's say. And then he says, fine, if you really want to do this, we will do this at Fastlane. And that's the way I would have done it personally. I think that this is too rushed. And I know that they're trying to get some feuds, you know, for Fastlane and maybe some mini feuds before WrestleMania. And I think maybe that's what they're going to do. But I think that this is too quick a storytelling.
I think if they tell a good story in the ring, though, they would stretch this out to WrestleMania. I believe that's what they're going to try and do.
No, because you don't do rematches at WrestleMania.
Who says that they're actually going to wrestle?
So you don't think that these two will wrestle then?
It wouldn't shock me if something happened where Goldust gets hurt, and then he comes out on the stage with a trash can, puts his Goldust gear in there, lights a fire, and says, "I'm no longer Goldust." You know, from like Raw circa, you know what, 2002.
I get that. I understand what you're saying. But we're also expecting that to happen with Cena, though. We're expecting Cena to not be able to wrestle. So do you think that that's going to happen for both?
Cena's going to wrestle, but he's going to lose. He seemed way too powerful on Raw this week.
So what do you think? I guess moving on to that one real quick. Cena, Rusev, do you think that Cena is going to wrestle Rusev? He's going to lose. But who's Cena's opponent then for WrestleMania?
Good question. That's a good question. You know, man, that is a good question. Because that would have to be WrestleMania.
Yeah. I don't think these two are going to face each other.
Randy Orton?
I think that's...
Randy Orton comes back? Sheamus comes back?
You know what? That could happen. You could have I think Sheamus is going to interfere in a match. I guess it could potentially be Cena and Rusev's. Because Rusev did beat Sheamus for the title. So maybe you have Sheamus come in, interfere, and then you have a triple threat for the U.S. title. That'd bring some prestige to it, that's for sure.
But then you'd almost have to have Cena put them both over, if that's the case.
You would need to, but because Cena's way too big.
Well, also, when Cena, when he is a title holder, his merchandise goes up and there's more people attend live events and shows. So maybe that's why if they throw a belt on him, maybe that's all they need. If that's the case, give him the IC title, Put him in a tag team. Give him the Divas title. Give him something.
I think he would look great in a Divas title.
By the way, when's AJ Lee coming back?
So, anyway, Andy, the primetime players are back. What did you think of the reuniting, and it feels so good, of Darren Young and Titus O'Neil?
This was weird to me. That's all I could say, because it didn't make sense. Darren Young makes his return, and he's with some nobody, not even a guy from NXT, some guy from Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And he's just out there with him, and I'm like, oh, great. You know, Tyson is probably going to make a save. It's the first thing I thought. And then I kept thinking, is someone from WWE here? I mean, I'm right.
That's the first thing you thought? Because that was the farthest thing from my mind. I was like,
I thought that what would happen is that why would DY come back? Because they can't squash him because of the whole thing that he said about Dubai. I just don't, there's no reason they do that. I was like, they're going to reunite those two guys.
I was very surprised that they did, personally. I think that's probably a good thing, though. I was against them splitting up in the first place. I thought it was so stupid because you have these two performers who are not single stars who are good together as a tag team. And right now, WWE needs tag teams. I mean, they just split up the Dust Brothers. So the primetime players, you have Ascension, you have the Usos. I guess you have, you know, what is it, the Upper New Cats? The New Day. You know, so you need to have these, these tag teams. And I think that it's perfect to have them to get back together.
Yeah, I am happy that they're back together. Don't get me wrong. I just, it wasn't surprising. I guess there's not a lot of things that surprise me. So that's one of those where I'm like, yeah, I know what's going to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen. But it seems that WWE people are listening to our show more and more. And something that I'm going to point this out while we're talking about this next topic. So, of course, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns, the feud is heating up. But if you notice, there was a certain – remember last week I said that there's only one referee that could probably call a match because he's a former wrestler. And I said I think his name is Drake Younger. Well, the referee, Drake – I don't know what they changed his name to, but his name's Drake. The NXT ref was all of a sudden reffing a match. And if I'm correct, he reffed whoever Jack Swagger faced. And I believe that he is going to be on the main roster reffing matches for a while. Because as a former wrestler, for them, basically a former wrestler to adapt to that style and to call the match, it wouldn't be too hard for him to do it because he's been doing it with NXT. I believe that if they're going to do Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, they're going to have him ref that match and have him call the match the entire time.
Well, and I'm not sure, you know, who you're talking about exactly. I'd have to take a look, but that'd be a very interesting turn of events because if they are really gung-ho about Lesnar Reigns, which I think that they are, then, you know, that's probably the perfect option for him to do. You know, I said before that we're probably going to see Reigns and Lesnar take some time off so that way they can both talk about the match so that way they can actually have it down pat basically before it goes on live. But what did you think of the opening and the closing segment of Bryan and Reigns?
I've lost interest in anything with Roman Reigns. Him talking, him being on the screen, him wrestling, I don't care about him. It's got like he is, I guess, irritated me enough where I won't watch his stuff. Like, it's not like I can't stand him, but I got to watch what he's doing. It's like I can't stand him. I'm fast forwarding. In the old days of when you had the wars, you would just switch to the other channel if you couldn't stand what they were doing. But now with the reality era, people have a choice of DVRing it and fast forwarding. This has got me to that point. So I don't even know what was said. I just saw the ending segment I did watch. But anything else, when I saw Reigns, I fast forward. That's how irritating it's got. Because I believe that he's horrible at acting. He's a beginning wrestler. Mojo Rawley could wrestle better than him. Nothing against Mojo. I just have a problem with Roman Reigns. It's got to that. It's finally got to me. So
I
That's
I
my rant.
Disagree with you.
Oh my gosh. How could you actually think that Roman Reigns could do something when most of the fans have turned on him?
The thing is, a lot of people still cheer him. And he is getting, boos, but he's also getting cheers. He's getting Cena-style reactions, which is actually a good thing. You know, a lot of times people would say, oh, you know, Cena's getting booed, you should just turn him heel. Cena's getting reactions. The worst thing a fan could do is have Cena come out and no one says anything. That is the worst thing that you could do to somebody. I personally don't think Roman Reigns is ready. I don't. And I, you know, I've been on record for saying that. I agree with you there. However, I think that his feud with Daniel Bryan has actually helped elevated him quite a bit. And the reason for that is because Daniel Bryan is the number two babyface in the company. Hands down, number two. And so what they've done with him, what they've done with Bryan and Reigns, is they've pitted them as the good guys going against each other. And we get to have the fans decide basically who is right and who is wrong. So I disagree with you. I think that this has actually been some pretty good television. And we get to see a different side of Daniel Bryan that we haven't seen. He's not just the good guy. He's got an edge to him. He definitely does. And he's very different than what he was a year ago. Very different.
I'll agree with you on that, but it's not because of Roman Reigns. I don't believe it's maybe it is because of Roman Reigns. I will say that. It's because of Roman Reigns. But to me, I guess I get frustrated when here's a great example. The Chicago Cubs suck. I would actually always watch the opening game from start to finish live, no matter what. If I was at work, wherever I was, I'd always watch that game. It's got to that point where I will just after the first inning, I'm done. I'm like, well, I know they're going to lose, and I stop watching, especially mm-hmm. since they faced Cardinals the first game this year. That's what Roman Reigns has done for me, because it's so pathetic that they put all this stuff into him, and to me, he's not producing. He did. Now, the thing with Daniel Bryan, let's throw that out the window, like just how he's made Daniel Bryan a little bit better. Everything mm-hmm. else, he's basically, I'm Roman Reigns. This is how I talk with no emotion.
His promos suck.
I have four moves now.
His in-ring ability is not that great, but that doesn't matter. Hogan was terrible in the ring.
In that age, you could get away with that. Was absolutely. Stone Cold a bad wrestler? Was The Rock a bad wrestler?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, seriously, you thought The Rock was a bad wrestler?
No. Sorry, I was continuing with the Hogan thing.
Oh my gosh.
No, Rock was very passable. As a wrestler, he's not fantastic. You know, he did what he needed to do. But I think that Roman Reigns, while he's not ready, he is going to main event WrestleMania, and we are going to see whether or not they can vault somebody to the top in the way that they have and put the rocket pack on him to see if they can actually make him a star.
If Seth Rollins, let's say he wins the world title and Seth Rollins cashes in on him, does Seth Rollins get cheered?
Yes.
Then what's the point? Because then Seth Rollins just turned. Or maybe they're cheering because they don't want Roman Reigns to have the belt.
They're cheering because they don't want Reigns to have the belt. Not because they want Seth Rollins. I mean, some probably want Seth Rollins to win, but they're going to cheer because they don't want Reigns to have the belt.
Okay, do you see my point now? You could do that with anyone else. Why do it with Roman Reigns?
Because that's who they want to be their big guy.
Bleh. Anyways, let's thank our sponsor, because I cannot, I'm going to have to beat this into you later. All right, let's thank the sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top. Save big on items from WWEShop.com. So, Impact Wrestling, let's talk about it. Why did Aries and Rude get, 2 minutes, felt like, for their match?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. They need to talk about timing. Big time.
Yes.
overall, it was a decent match. But one thing that, of course, we've learned over the years is that if you don't give a match long enough time to tell a story, it looks rushed, it feels rushed, and you're disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what happened here.
It definitely was rushed. These two put on a really great match this past week, and I was a little disappointed when I saw it. Austin Aries is a tremendous talent. Bobby Roode is obviously too, and they are two of the biggest stars in TNA. And I don't get – TNA has some of the best wrestlers on the planet, hands down. And they get rid of them. Samoa Joe, good example. AJ Styles, bad influence. You know, they get rid of these wrestlers, or they don't know how to properly use them, and then they're gone. And you know, these two having a match, it doesn't matter who wins. It's a good match because the fans win. The biggest problem that they had is that they didn't give them enough time, and that this was not the main event. And instead, they gave the main event to the Beatdown Clan in a tag team match, which was so stupid and unnecessary. Unnecessary. So I don't get why they were going for that. And the thing is, Roode wins this match, and he gets a title shot apparently at some point in time. I don't know.
I don't get it, dude. I guess when you tape so many shows in a row, you get confused about a lot of things. But oh well, it's just sad.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. But so MVP wins a battle royale. He becomes the number one contender for the belt. Is that what they're doing?
So that's why I had the, you know, in our notes here, apparently Roode gets a shot at some point in time, but then, you know, this week on Impact, they had MVP win. He wins the battle royal, and he's the new number one contender now. So I'm wondering where they're going with this, because Roode kind of has a claim to it, and apparently now MVP does too. So I don't know. I'm not sure what they're doing.
I have so many confusion jokes I could throw out there right now. I'm just confused about this. You know what the thing is? Like, it's almost like watching Impact Wrestling. It's almost become like a Debbie Downer for me. That's the only way I can explain it. Just call me Debbie Downer afterwards. I think it's cool what they're doing, though. I like the fact that Destination America is fully behind them. They are mm-hmm. putting on best of shows. They're replaying the show a lot. Whenever my wife watched Destination America, she brings it up. Oh, those TNA commercials. I'm like, oh, yeah, wrestling. So I find that interesting. So if she's seeing it, maybe if they brought back they should do a best of Sting is what they really should do and have that out there. So the people are like,
Oh, they did?
Yeah, I'm behind. Anyways, so they do a best of Sting, and they could be like, hey, wasn't that guy, did you like that guy back in the day, you know, 10 years ago when he was wrestling? Oh, yeah, what did he been doing for the last 10 years? Well, apparently he was here.
Yep.
So
MVP wins the Battle Royal. He eliminates Angle last, and now he's going to have a number one contenders match. He gets a shot at the title. I don't know when this is going to happen, but him and Lashley will finally go at it, which will be a pretty big deal. Obviously, it's been taped, so you could probably read the results, to see what really happens. But I got to say, I'm a little disappointed in TNA. I think, you know, the news that Joe had left this past week still is kind of sticking with me, you know, that he left. And I don't know. Not a fan of that.
Yeah, I think there's something more going on here, but... Oh, well. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the Beatdown Clan, because I don't even know how far they've taped out. Maybe till March? April?
No, till November.
Till November? There you go. They're just
2016.
Gonna, yeah. 20, they're just going to tape 4 years worth of wrestling in a month. And then be like...
And then be like someone's going to die, and you're going to be like, well, you can see him still on TV.
Well, for the next 18 months, you're going to see him with the World Heavyweight title, and then he's going to drop it to another guy who died before him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sad. Anyway, so...
That's dark humor.
Very, very so much. So Drew McIntyre, he's back, which... is he back for good in TNA, or...
Drew Galloway, Andy...
Sorry, Drew Galloway. Yeah.
And he came in because he saved Grado, who is a big star over in Europe. He's kind of, I would say, the equivalent of Colt Cabana over here. You know, Colt Cabana, when he's at, you know, indie shows, he has a huge ovation. And Grado is kind of that same guy. Personally, I don't really see it. I don't get what's so big about him. You know, I'd have to see a little bit more. Maybe I would say, oh, my God, this guy's the greatest thing ever. But he doesn't look anything special. But anyway, Grado comes out, and then Drew Galloway, made his debut. He actually saved him. What did you think of Drew Galloway?
I've always liked Drew Galloway. It just kind of stunk that they didn't know what to do with him, so they're like, we'll put you in the three-man band. And that was it. They didn't try and do anything else. He came in. He was a big deal. He had the IC title for a while. Mm-hmm. And then that's all they really did with him. Because he kept losing over and over again on Superstars, putting people over. And then
I thought his character was terrible, personally. I thought they did a really bad job with him. And I thought him leaving WWE was one of the best things he could have done for his career. You know, there's a point in time where your character is getting to become stale, and you can't really do a whole lot. It's either you leave or you stay in that position. And I think Drew Galloway was definitely stuck there. You know, Heath Slater is another example. Heath Slater is always going to be that guy unless he leaves WWE.
You know what, though? I think if Heath Slater left, or even like Goldust, it would actually be like, whoa, they left. But then there's other guys I'm like, oh, they left, big deal. I wouldn't care. But I think like either one of those guys. Also, R-Truth. If R-Truth left, I'd be like, oh, why? Why is he leaving? You know, that's the same thing I felt like with Drew Galloway. When he left, I was like, that's kind of weird. Like not seeing him. And sad at the same time, if that makes sense.
For me, it was I would say what's his name? Johnny Mundo. When he left, John Morrison, I was like, man, you know, I thought he had something, you know.
I believe that he still does, and he needs to come back. He needs to come back home for a little bit.
Yeah.
But of course you can see him on Lucha Underground on the El Rey Network. Yeah, Johnny Mundo, you know what the thing is, though? You can still see that he has it. Like, there's some guys that you're not sure if they have it, but he does. He definitely has it. So
absolutely. Talk for crap on the mic, but man, he is just oozing charisma.
I'll disagree with you on the mic thing. I think his mic skills are good. I don't think they're like the best, but I think they're good. And if I had to put the company in either his hands or Roman Reigns' hands, I can tell you already who I'd pick.
Yeah, I'd pick Roman Reigns too.
Oh my gosh, come on, dude. John Morrison. He has the look.
I'm sorry, you would have John Morrison up against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No. Tell me he did not just say that, is what you're supposed to say. And yes, I believe that. I believe that Brock Lesnar is overrated, and I do believe that he's going to drop the title to someone. I think the fans are going to be furious when they find out that it's Roman Reigns. I believe that there will be a lot of people upset about that.
I think that Roman Reigns is a lot. I would build a company around Roman Reigns before I would John Morrison.
Seriously?
Yes.
I don't like
Roman Reigns, Andy, but I also understand how mathematics works.
Look it up.
And so, you know, think of it this way. John Cena. John Cena is terrible in the ring, and people are like, oh, he's terrible, he sucks, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? I would build a company around John Cena before I would AJ Styles. And AJ Styles is my favorite wrestler probably of all time.
Oh, really? Because isn't he the new IG?
No, you already talked about this. Remember, he's not. He lost it.
He just lost it? He just got it.
Did he just get it again?
He just got it not that long ago. Friday? Last Friday? Two Fridays ago, something like that? He just got it again.
Really? Oh, okay.
I'm like 99% sure. While we go to Wikipedia, while everyone's like, oh, gosh, would you guys just end the show and stop talking about AJ Styles, even though he is the guy that I would build a company around? I mean, it worked for TNA until they said, hey, we don't want you anymore.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, AJ Styles is the current IWGP champion.
Thank you. I do follow New Japan Pro Wrestling. By the way, Prince Devitt, or Finn Balor, was actually there.
Yeah, you're right. He won it February 11th, so crazy. Crazy, crazy. It's his second reign. His first reign lasted 163 days. So, you know, good for him. But, yeah, even AJ Styles, who I love, I'm still building a company around John Cena first, because John Cena is going to put the butts in the seats. AJ Styles is going to have a classic five-star match. He's going to be, you know, it's just like Bret Hart. I love Bret Hart, but I wouldn't build a company around him. I'd build around Hogan. I would build around Rock. I would build around Cena. I'd build it around Reigns. And I, you know, I mean, it sucks to say, but if you want to be a national or a global promotion, that's what you have to do.
We are never going to agree on this, are we?
You think that if you had a company that was based around John Morrison, that you would put more butts in the seats than you would if it was Roman Reigns?
Yeah. Definitely.
So why is John Morrison wrestling in front of 200 people, you know, once a week?
I believe that's Morrison's choice, though. I believe Morrison decided, I want to do this because I only have to work this many dates and I still can be in movies, which is what he's trying to pursue. When he realizes that no one wants to hire him, I'm sorry, Mr. Morrison, but with someone, or Johnny Nitro, I'm sorry.
Neither one is his name, but yeah.
I was getting to Mundo. It's just one of those things, like, I believe that I could build a company around him, and I believe I could build a successful company. I believe that that people would want to actually see him more than Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns is there, he'll do a couple moves, and they'll be like, oh. It's like the Goldberg effect. Goldberg was there, and then it's like, now what do you do with him? Nothing. You have him cut his arm for no reason and be out 6 months, and no one really gave a crap. And then he goes to WWEF. And then he goes to the Elimination Chamber match, and then Triple H has to pin him. But then, of course, you know what's going to happen, because he's going to win the world title belt. Anyways.
Yeah.
I can keep ranting about this stuff, by the way. And we can go back and forth, Roman Reigns, because I would actually put the returning to main event Zack Ryder above Roman Reigns.
No.
He did return?
No.
What? He did return to main event?
I'm sorry. Hold the phone.
Whoa,
you think that Zack Ryder, you would build a company around Zack Ryder before you would Roman Reigns?
Yeah. I believe Zack has a look if he can put on a match. It's not a joke. With this reality era coming in, I believe that some people are going to start looking at matches more and more, and the quality of them. If the matches are going to stink, they're going to start chanting like they have been. If you get 10 smarks in the car, in the crowd, and they're like, I don't want to see this Roman Reigns match, so let's start chanting for Jerry the King Lawler, who's not at the announce table. Let's go to Booker T. Let's talk Stone Cold. Let's not do JBL because we don't want to say anything with him, so we'll just say Ron Simmons over and over again. And then they'll go all the way down to Michael Cole and then even the Spanish announce table before they even care about the match. And I'm telling you this right now. I have some sources. Okay, I don't. But I believe that there's going to be some people in the front row, not on basically camera, and I'm sorry, crowd side, that the hard camera is going to see a bunch of newspapers come up in the air when Roman Reigns comes up there, because they don't want to see anything with him and they don't want to watch his match. Just saying, that's it's like if you're putting on a skit at high school and the seniors in the front, of course they ran the newspapers for the freshman skit.
Here's the thing: you build a company around Roman Reigns. It does not matter if he cannot. Zack Ryder has nothing to bring to the table. He has no appeal outside just a wrestling fan. Roman Reigns has appeal outside of just wrestling fans.
To who? He can't act to save his life. You might as well give him a brown paper bag and be like, act your way out of this. Hogan's still in a paper bag. He can't figure it out.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's never about that. Never.
We're never going to agree upon this, are we?
Nope.
All right, well, let's move on then. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And if Aaron's wrong, you can find him at AP Hughes, and if I'm right, which I am, at A Hughes. So for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.